The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 822. It's The Weekend Podcast, and joining me is Peter.
Good day.
And Steve's not here. It's pointless me doing that gag again, but I've done it 10 times. Every time someone's not here, I say the name, pretend it's something wrong. Technically wrong. It doesn't really work. But Steve has gone on an old person's holiday. He likes to book into places that are very popular with the old age folk, because he's very popular amongst older ladies. We discovered this last year. He's at his holiday. They're queuing around the block to entertain Steve, or Steve entertain them. He's very much a Lothario amongst the OAPs. You know, he's sought after. I don't know how his name gets around these. I think his name goes around the nursing houses, I think. And they really queue around the block for him.
But, is it? Do you reckon it's all his share tips?
Yeah. It's like they've got the OAP. He's on the OAP version of Tinder. I don't know what it's called. I think it's called what's that?
Zimmer.
That's it. I couldn't think of the frame of the Zimmer. It's called Zimmer, and I don't know how Steve's wangled it, because you've got to be of a certain age to be on that. But Steve's in there, and he's a hot product on that.
Mentally, I think he is that age. Don't you think?
He is a little
mentally.
Bit,
I think he's that age.
Well, he's got a little bit of dementia about him, I think.
Yeah.
or that kind of absent-mindedness that comes with that age group. Anyway, I tell you what. What about the British Lions, eh? Ooh, hey! Ooh! Ooh, hey! Hey!
They were a match for the All Blacks when they've got one less player.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Well, no, I haven't said that, though. Listen, they did a lot of silly mistakes, gave away 10 penalties in the second half. The guy kicked, 7 of them? And so you could argue that, if they hadn't given that way, surely this time they'd say, listen, discipline, guys, there's no need. You gave him a lot of points there, you didn't need to. If he'd been better kicker, they'd have won. But if you don't give him away, you'd have been, because they played better rugby. They scored tries, So I'm thinking, it's a tight game. And people who are listening to this podcast may now know the result, because it goes out on a Saturday early morning. But I'm just saying, they prove, I think, they're in with a chance of winning this. Now, New Zealand been rocked a little bit. They'll come back even harder. So I think it's going to be a cracking game. Because, the spirits of the Lions are buoyed a little bit and they're bullish. And yet the All Blacks are going to try and defend as much as they can. They're crowned as champions and unbeaten. So I think it should be a really tough, really good game. Do you think?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think the All Blacks will just come and boss it. And as long as they don't make any silly mistakes and get anybody else sent off, they're going to win by 10, aren't they? Or 15? Or it's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be close.
No, they're not. The Lions are going to let it now. They're too close to it. They're too close to making history.
But they're still. So, okay, your theory the other week was obviously. Well, it's
spot on. It was spot on, wasn't it?
Right, of course.
My theory was spot on. What I say, always back the. If you get a two horse race. I don't mean interest in horse racing. I mean any sport. If you've got a massive underdog, a big fat underdog, what is an underdog? Where does that come from? It's like a dog that's under the table, or I don't know what it is. What does it mean? Is there such a thing as an overdog?
Is it the dog fighting thing, and then the dog was under? I don't know. I'm just
underdog.
Making that up.
Dog. I'm going to say now. Underdog meaning. A competitor thought to have a little chance of winning the economy. We know that. So prey, origin. Let's look. Origin. I don't know. I'll put that in. Underdog origin. Yeah. So yes. So anyway, you continue, and I'll. So when you got us thing.
Okay. So I think I could see 10 to 15 point win by the All Blacks. Unfortunately, I hope not. I hope the Lions do it. But you as a Welshman and. With it being a predominantly Welsh side, you probably are very keen. You're very optimistic.
Okay. Well, do you know what? It's odd because there's also the phrase "top dog," isn't it? So "top dog" means the underdog. So I don't know where it's come from. I find it it's a. I don't know. It doesn't say really. I mean, it comes from "top dog" and "underdog." I think "top dog" is the one to fight, and Yeah, but listen, how are they going to change themselves majorly from last week, the All Blacks? Because let's be honest, that wasn't the All Blacks team. It was a test match. They should have been on their best form. They couldn't. They didn't walk over, you know. Isn't it funny? I often think that you can do the hacker if you're the best team in the world and you are envied and feared. If you're going to get hammered or beaten, yeah, it just looks like a bit of a farce, isn't it, you know, doing that thing? I mean, it's...
Like Fiji do it, don't they, in Samoa, yeah, and all those. And you think, come on, islands.
Yeah, you say, well, lads, you know, if you are unbeaten side or renowned as the best side ever in the world ever, fair enough, you can get away with that. But when you do that and get hammered, it's just ridiculous. It's a bit, it's a silly dance, that's what it looks like. But it looks like a war dance with the All Blacks to it. But no, I think...
The Lions should do something in retaliation, should like do like a ballet or something.
But do you remember years ago, I don't know when this was, there was a Welsh team, was it? They were playing the All Blacks or something. Or maybe the Lions, I think it was. They formed a V and walked towards the All Blacks. And like,
yeah, it was Welsh.
And then they were criticised for being disrespectful. I thought, what? What are you talking about? It's all about intimidation, that's all it's about, isn't it? And you know, if you show you're not intimidated, why should you have to stand there while they're all pulling all these faces and say, come on, basically, we're going to tear you apart? You know, I thought it was quite clever, that. A little bit of mind games. It's only mind games, isn't it?
But why do the All Blacks get to do something? And,
exactly. You know, Morris dancing, that's what they should do. Morris dancing with their bells and the sticks. Oh, that would deflate it. At the same time as they're doing the hacker, they should do the Morris dancing with their sticks and their bells. And their hankies. And that would deflate the fear, wouldn't it? Anyway, that'd be good.
Right. Anyway.
I've got to say, nice, good work, Peter. Good work indeed. Because on Friday, on the weekend, we started disseminating and spreading the videos, the explanation videos, as to use the Vox Markets app.
Oh, excellent, yes.
Now, you can see these. You can see these on Twitter and when they're on different social networks. But essentially, it's for people who are not quite sure of the app and how it works. Because there are a few different websites that do, obviously, investment. But we're hoping to take the game over, you know. We're hoping to become the top dog. And we put out some explanations. And a lot of that, and I've been the same, because I was, for a long time, you get used to a certain website, don't you? Or certain websites, and you get used to the way it works. You like where everything is and all that stuff. And then you don't. Even if there's a better offering out there, you don't try it because you're just used to what you've got. And I just think now, you know, I used to look at ADVFair and LSE. I don't even look at those sites now because I do obviously work for Vox. But I mean, I just find the app nice and it works all right. But I mean, if you need to look at it from a video perspective, which is quite nice, it's about a minute video, explains how it works. It's very simple. You follow a company, and then any communication that company drops, you get via notification. And that's just one of the first things that I like. And of course, we're evolving all the time, so there's more videos to come.
And the voiceover, do you recognize the voiceover?
I don't know who booked that. Simple. Who is it? That's the one thing that lets it down, I think.
Yeah, I thought that.
It's fabulous. I just thought, I don't know how they got this Hollywood voiceover guy to do this, but it must have cost a lot of money. Yeah. It's a guy that does, there was a time years ago in a distant place in a distant land, that kind of thing, you know. So very good, very good voiceover there. I don't know who picked that guy, but well done. I think you should give a pay rise to the person who picked that guy. Fantastic.
And maybe the guy himself as well.
Himself. He's probably got paid. I don't know. Didn't get paid for it, apparently. To a charity. But definitely, yes. So I'm saying well done, Pete, because you put the bits together. With James, of course, at Vox, also helped out with all sourcing the bits, and you put them all together and edited it and all that stuff. So it was a good team effort there. So worth checking out. If you're not on the Vox, if you don't have Vox, it's free. Download the app. It's free. I just think, you know, there's been several times I've seen an RS come across my phone and I've sort of enacted upon it. And then the price has moved about 5-10 minutes later because the market's that far behind. So if you're logged into your dealing platform and it's a stock you know already very well and some news comes out, you think, well, that's good. You could buy some more.
Yeah.
Or if it's bad, sell it.
Yeah, something I've noticed recently, and this will sound like a shameless corporate plug, but my stock apps on the iPhone are really inaccurate, or it seems to be really, I don't know, there's a massive delay, or it's very strange. So
yeah,
I have
yeah,
been
no,
relying
no,
more
I lo-
and more
lo-
on
yeah,
Vox
yeah.
Markets, and it's far better. There we are, corporate plug. But, you know, it's very good, and you get the alerts, and you can see, and when the RNS comes in, I don't miss one night in the morning, and I see, you know, you can see what's happening, and it's far better than just a stock app that seems to be quite random in the figures. I don't know if there's something fundamentally wrong with what they're doing, but yes.
There is a problem. There was a problem with a problem with data. There was to do with the London Stock Exchange updating to be in line with regulatory European sort of, you know, issues or transparency. And that messed up all the data on AIM. And Vox, like everyone else, got affected for about 3 days. No trade data coming through. We had prices, but no trade data. And now we sorted ourselves out. But yet people are still whinging. I think Google Finance, and I think also Apple, will use the same thing. Any sort of price data on AIM is not working, it's not accurate. So, I don't know why they're still behind the curve on that one. But anyway, get the app, it's free. And like I said, it's it's invaluable. It doesn't cost anything, but it's priceless. All right. I don't know about your stocks, but I've had a decent... I mean, people talk about, you know, summer and it gets liquid, liquidity dries up and all this stuff. I've been doing all right recently. I've been doing very well.
Yeah.
You had
a couple of great winners there.
Did you buy Westminster Group?
I didn't buy Westminster Group.
That bagged for me, so sold half, over 103% of that. So that did that. Angus Energy, I was in the IPO at this, 7p. And of course, it went to 14. So I bagged then.
Yes.
It's come back down because I had all those rumours about the Surrey County Council. I bought some more. And then that's got up to 23p now. So... that's been nice, because Paul Vogt from Angus Energy came on the podcast, and he pointed out, I mean, and people are still not getting this. UK oil and gas, which is flying at the moment, you know, because they're tests in the wheel basin, they're flying. It's like double the size. It was triple the size of Angus Energy. And what people are not understanding is the value of a production licence. Now, you know, Upland had been involved, Upland Resources and Union Jack Oil and Egdon Resources, had their second, you know, application for planning in Lincolnshire, North Lincolnshire County Council for their wrestle project turned down. And so you can understand how hard it is to get production licence.
Yeah,
it takes time, money, effort, and there's still no guarantee of a production licence. And so, you know, UK oil and gas don't have this. And yet they share some of the same assets as Angus Energy. But Angus Energy was like a third of the market cap. It's been rallying, I think it's about half now at the moment, because UK oil and gas has come down a bit, but that's come up. But I'm still thinking, even so, you know, even when the UK oil and gas get all this, you know, the resources proved up, they can't sell a drop of it. They can't earn any money on it whatsoever. So, you know... it's odd. I suppose when people get into a stock and you get it, gain a sort of bit of traction, and I suppose UK Oil and Gas got that amazing bit of traction a couple of years back when it hit front page headlines about, you know, Gatwick Gusher having 100 billion barrels of oil under the. So I suppose they've got a huge following from that. But I just think at the moment where Angus are priced compared to UK Oil and Gas, you know, you go with the cheaper one with the, you know. Obviously, a shorter runway to commerciality.
But, so even now that it's pushed on up to whatever it is, you're saying 23, you're saying that it's still worth looking at now.
Well, if you're looking at UK oil and gas, you know, I mean, a nice little trick, right, is never buy a share on an up day. If you're looking at a share, try to buy it on a down day, you know. But UK oil and gas is valued at 106 million, and yet Angus is 54 million.
54, yeah.
And yet, you're thinking, well, hang on a sec, I don't understand, you know, Angus has got the assets and the production licence. UK oil and gas has just got the assets.
Yeah.
You know, is UK oil and gas overvalued, or is Angus Energy undervalued, or do they need to meet in the middle? Either way, you suggest...
Or a bit of both.
Yeah, a bit of both, exactly. So there we are. But I know one thing, if you're looking to get some... Paul Vaughan came on and said, they're looking to produce this summer. Now, we're already into sort of, July? So it won't be far off before they're actually earning some cash. And that means they won't have to go back to the market to raise funds, dilute existing shareholders. So, you know, there's lots of benefits to that. At last!
They've had a crack at week, haven't they? Just sort of looking at the chart. Very good.
And Westminster Group has had a cracking week. Province Resources coming into his own a bit. It's a big seller there. I just saw, on Thursday, someone sold 440,000 shares in one dump.
Wow.
That's a big dump, isn't it?
Yeah, it is quite large.
That's it was 2.5 million shares at about 18p.
Yeah.
So you've got a seller there. It's a capital investment group, I think it's good they're called. which obviously is pulling down a bit. But they're drilling. They should be announcing a spud very soon. I don't know if you saw that app on Twitter. It's an app where you can look at any vessel in the world, any shipping vessel in the world. And they're using the Ice Max, the Stena Ice Max drilling machine, which is a beast of a drilling boat. But they're using that, $180,000 a day to hire that boat. That's they said it's going to be end of June they're going to start spudding. That's in the Druid and Drombeg. 5 billion barrels of resources in that area. There's an excellent farming deal with Khan Energy, which Khan Energy paid 45% for 30% holding. So excellent thing. So, I mean, even if they get tiny, you know, first of all, they've made a profit on that before they've drilled it, Providence Resources, PBR. But if they get any success on that, it'll fly. But at the moment, like I said, they're, you know, the share price is having problems getting above 18 pence because there's a seller there all the time. But once that seller's cleared, once they show a bit of action happening there, drilling, then it should fly. But do you know what I was going to say?
Steve's in this one, isn't he?
Yes, Steve.
Is Steve in this one?
Steve did the initial research. Yeah, Steve did the initial research on it.
Okay, Steve's in a share that's doing well.
Yeah, very rare, isn't it?
Interesting.
Yeah, normally.
What sort of price did he buy it?
I don't know, but I bought this about 9, 10 pence. You know, and I sold it about 15. I don't know why, but I put a stop loss in, and I shouldn't have. And then it came back down. I made a bit of profit there, made about 40%. Then I bought again at about 15 and a half, and it's just now 18. But I think this could fly through 30 pence easy, you know. I don't know, but I'm saying that. I have no idea. I think once it passes 20 pence, then the next, obviously, major sort of thing. And if they get any success there. Yeah, but do you know what I was going to say? At last, Talao Energy is making a move.
Yes.
Have you seen that? I mean, I did post a chart. And you could see every time it attempted to get above 7.18, there was a sell-off. Yeah. There was resistance there all the time. And I pointed, I put a chart on Twitter saying, look at this. You can see every time it attempts to get above the relative strength index doesn't go above 60. And now, you know, relative strength as an indicator, it's good when it's in between 50 and 70. Over 70 is sort of overbought. Under 50 is oversold. So it's in that area and it's building. But I said, as soon as this relative strength goes above 60, game on. And I posted a chart literally the day before it, the morning when it started to rise. I said, it's looking good. The RSI is 65, at 65. So it went up then about 7, 8% that day. And then Friday, again, up double digits again. But I think now, of course, we'll see a pullback. But I mean, a little bit sooner or later. But this is one of these stocks, you know, that I think genuinely, if they do what they say they're going to do, it'll be a mid-cap, you know, and talking a couple of hundred million, you know, market cap here. So this is good to go, you know.
It's had a few false dawns in the past, hasn't it? But hopefully now we're going to be pushing on up.
But they've got their almost the request for proposal is in. You know, for the 100 megawatt power station in Botswana.
Yeah.
And also, what was quite good, Colm, the finance director this week, went on Vox and posted a little picture on Vox saying, this looks like a good place to tie ourselves into the grid first and foremost. So obviously once you put up the gas reserves, then you build a power station, and then you just hook to the grid, you know, a power station, a sub power station, and that will take you across Botswana, and if you want anywhere you want to go, as long as it's on that grid. So apparently, obviously, the grid is linked to South Africa as well, which has huge deficit in power there. And so So Sarawi substation in Botswana. Sarawi, I don't know how you say it. But a nice little picture of the substation. And Colm said a recent picture taken on a Talao visit to the Sarawi substation in Botswana. Sarawi looking like an ideal location to initially tie into the Botswanan grid. So I'm just going to Google that. See what it is.
Like, in terms of competition there and everything else, they just don't really have any. Or there is some. But
there's, I mean, you know, as far as Botswana is concerned, they've got a growing economy. They're having blackouts, they're having issues with electricity shortages. The only form of power they have is diesel, which is very expensive and obviously very dirty. It's a very dirty, you know, source. Very dirty indeed.
Whereas coal, it's fantastic.
Coal is bad as well. This is gas. It's coal bed methane. So they don't
coal bed methane, sorry.
Yes,
of course.
Yes. So they drill down. And in between coal, they've discovered that in between coal and all that, there's methane pockets and all that stuff. And you need coal beds, of course, to form this, to get this kind of, to generate this kind of methane. So they just drill down and they dewater it, but take out the methane. And the methane is a gas power station. So it'll be gas powered. So that's, you know, quite clean, you know? So, and the government are all for that. They put initiatives in place to prioritise this kind of thing. That's why they've offered Talao and all that, you know, request for proposal. And yet, there's no other competition in Botswana for this. They are the first guys to get an environmental licence. Once they've got a partner now, sort of looking at the power station side, they're in charge of, you know, proving the gas resources and reserves, which are, the resources are massive. They have like 3.3 TCF, trillion cubic feet. And then you obviously slowly need to prove this up into reserves, which become commercial then. And that's when you'll see the share price really rallying. But
thing I always think with them is that Tony Gilby, chief exec, you know, has done it before. And when he was on the podcast a few months back saying that, you know, the potential here was bigger than his previous projects. You know, it's like, wow, I mean, I've got to trust. But, you know, it does come down to trust. But if it is true what he's saying, that is incredible.
Well, that's because, twice he's done before, but because, you know, in Australia, they did have competition. And there wasn't, you know, an issue with blackouts and all this stuff. It just decided to go this way because it was a cleaner source than diesel. So there's a lot more, you know, contributory factors, playing into the Botswana and the southern, you know, Southern African region, to make it more compelling on a financial level. You know, there's, like I said, first and foremost, they have no competition in Botswana. Secondly, they desperately need to up their electricity sort of input because they're having blackouts and this thing, and it's very expensive with diesel. So there's loads of things happening, and you know, so and the potential is massive compared to there. I'm just looking in where Sarabi is in. Mukamaputu. I'm just looking at where. I can't be far from that because I'm looking at how far the Sarawi is a little river near Blackwood, my hometown in South Wales. Sarawi,
but it's spelled, it is, isn't it? Isn't there a town called Sarawi?
Yeah. No. There's a pub.
A village.
A Wetherspoon's called Sarawi.
A pub. Okay, it's the pub, right, sorry.
Yeah.
But not where Talao are focusing their efforts.
No, Sorow, I think it's Sorow where.
Right.
But, potential there, going to go well there. Anything else? Ars is the backward climbing a bit. ECR, is on. Yeah, do you know what? You know what worth looking at? What is worth looking at? I've written a blog about them, is Harvest Minerals. Now, when you look at small stocks, there's several dynamics, you know, involved. And one of them is always the share price. You know, if a stock is hot, yes. Like you can buy a good stock at a bad price. You can buy a bad, a bad stock at a good price and make money. So, but when I first wrote this blog on Harvest Minerals, I was looking at what they're looking to do. They're basically potash. They have massive resources in Brazil, Rapu in Brazil there. And they're looking to prove it up. And they've just had been testing their sort of potash, and they're going to get a certificate for it, certification, so they can sell it widely. But at the moment, they're looking to produce about 45,000, tons a year, but they're looking to ramp that up to between 400 and 500,000 tons a year. And they produce this all in cost for just over $7, you know, and they can sell it for $60. That's a good margin, isn't it? Seven, all in cost, $7 for 60. And I think, and I said, even looking on sort of round figures, say $50, you know, profit, if they're doing 400,000 tonnes a year, that's 20 million profit a year. If they're doing 50,000 tonnes, they're looking to sell between 4,000 and 5,000. Now, Brazil, huge agricultural area, a massive economy, expanding quite quickly. Their problems last few years, but one of the economies that's saying the faster, you know, expanding economies. The government, again, like, you know, Botswana, in Talao in Botswana, the government are they're really for, producing their own potash, because they import a lot of it, and it costs them money. And so the government want them to be self-sustaining potash developers by, I don't know, 2020 or something like that, or 2025, and they reckon the intake of potash is going to be triple or something. I can't remember the stats here, I wrote a blog on it. But all I know about it is this. It's all looking good because the government are behind it. They've got the resource. They've got Brian McMaster there, who's not a fool himself. He's been behind several successful companies. And also, if you look at this now, I said, if they are producing, if it, in the next couple of years, they ramp up to, say 400,000 tonnes a year, their market cap should be about £160 million.
Yeah.
When I wrote the blog, they were at 15 million. So that's you know, 10 bag a day if they do that. But now, it's, you know, the share price has dropped of late, and now it's, 11 million market cap? So that makes it even more, sort of attractive. Now, look at the chart. It doesn't seem like it's bottomed yet. But I think Brian's good. And in fact, he just came on the podcast recently and talked about another company he's started, Jangada. That looks amazing as well. It's also in Brazil. So we know Brazil very well. And but I would look out. But HMI, Harvest Minerals, you know, like I said, don't jump in, but do your own research. Yeah. And wait for the share price to come to you. But I just genuinely think over the next couple of years, you know, and there should be several good bits of news. They're selling some offtakes, some bits now, fertilizers. So it should be generating cash flow this year. And then it'll be towards the bigger ramp up towards the next few years. If they do what they're going to say again, this is another one. You can see a clear path to 10 bagger ship, you know. It's there, you know, you can see it. So worth putting
on your
watch list.
What's their ticker?
It's HMI, so Harvest Minerals. It's worth putting on your watch list. Honestly,
okay. I will.
I definitely do it. Around about 11 million market cap, just over. But
another company that released final results this week, which I thought looked good, but obviously not spectacular, I suppose, but good, were Vesarion.
Mm.
But then they didn't really affect the price, and then I thought midweek had a bit of a dip, and I think that's probably because people reacting to the lack of spectacular rise in share price, perhaps, and people had a bit of a sell-off.
Again, though, look at the chart, right?
We
get these little spikes in prices, and whatever happens, very rarely does it come, after a big spike, like it went from, let me just look at the chart here, very rarely will it go from a spike to spike up again, you know, very rarely, it will have a pullback, you know, it'll have a couple of things, and so you see now it's consolidating, and I quite like what's coming. Look at the 200-day moving average, as Nicola mentioned on the podcast this week. That's the boss. 200 moving average is the boss. It's like saying to all the other, hey, all you other moving averages, okay, you're temporary, traders mess around with you, but I'm the boss. Everyone knows I'm the boss. Everyone knows I'm the boss. I'll always be the boss. You know I'm the boss. I'm fantastic. It's like Donald Trump of moving averages, you know. It knows it's the boss, and it is the boss at the moment. But I mean,
better hair.
Yeah. So look at that. So it may have to come back down to that. And it's towards that. In fact, it's pretty much played off the 50, off the what have we got there? Is that the 125 moving average as well? 125 and 200 I look at. So it's now, I'd say, looking quite good at the moment. This it'll consolidate for a while, but I think, you know, without news it'll consolidate. But should they release any news? And in fact, I just retweeted Neil today, actually, which he's doing. Where is it, Neil? He tweeted out a little thing showing Vesarion, the robots are coming, testing successfully ABS, which is part of the graphene thing. Graphene Ultimate Maker, a 3D printer, creating a little robot. But they are using 3D printers now with graphene installed. And then that means what they're printing can have conductivity, which is amazing. And you can print smart labels, anything like that. And so what happens is, with the Internet of Things, and Neil explained this to me, you basically get an app now, and if you scan it all, or you run your phone over it, it'll tell you what you need for shopping, or your fridge can read that kind of stuff, or companies producing this kind of packaging know exactly more accurately, you know, how much they're selling. And so it's revolutionary, I think, that's one of the big areas they're into, is this this graphene-induced printable inks, and they're one of the only companies that can print it on a big scale. So I think if they release any news, and like they are testing that at the moment, then it'll probably look, it'll probably fly. But I mean, it's one of those spaces as well, graphene, a very active player in that area where you've got to be in, I think, you know, if you want to see, you know, huge potential returns. And he was talking to me on the podcast, and he said, he was going to visit a company, a massive company. He said, I've got this podcast now. I'm leaving in half an hour after the podcast. I get a train to London to meet a company, a massive company, discussing. I haven't much time with them, but I'm talking about the products. The fact that they've requested a meeting is very nice and excellent. And I said, would I know who the company was? Basically, oh yeah, yeah, we'll do it. I mean, you use this product, guaranteed you probably use one of his products in your house.
Wow, okay.
So I'm thinking, if I use one of his products, I'm thinking everyday products,
yeah.
I think it's going to be one of the big sort of pharmaceutical companies or one of the, you know, one of those companies, multi-conglomerates that have everything from toothpaste to, you know, to, and this kind of printing on packaging, if they could deal with them, for example, this is just speculation, of course, high speculation, but they're talking with lots of companies, you know, it could go through the roof.
Yeah.
But at the moment, the share price is looking good. You know, it's calmed down. That top has come off it. That spike has come off it a bit. So,
So, Nicola, I need to listen to that podcast. You were on This Week talking about that, was she?
Vasarian was on it. She was talking about the 200-day moving average. But did she do Vasarian? Yes, I think she did, I think we did cover that. I mean, if you look on the Vasarian's page, in fact, we did it a few weeks back. In fact, we should do it again. Good call. Good shout, that man. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
But
I'm looking at the 200-day moving average, so like it may come down to that, and that would be an opportunity to top up.
But sometimes, sometimes I think of that it may not make it to that, so people will wait for it to come to that. But what I'm saying is, it would be nice now if it forms a bit of a, you know, if you draw a line between, if you look at the like initial spike, which was back in the 8th of the 2nd of February, right? It went up to about 16.43, all right. And the spike the next day went up a bit further to 17. So 16, 17, I can't see going much below that. And if you could pick it up at 16, ideal. 17, excellent. But I mean, it may, you know, bump along for a while now, up and down on that little range there between, say, 19.
I might put an order in at 16 and see if, you know, if it does in happy days.
Yeah, between 16 and 19 and 16 maybe. Yeah, but remember, 16. The mid is probably, you know, a bit more than that, isn't it? So probably for 16 and a half, maybe, because it may show that sharp. There, so, I'm looking to. I didn't buy a huge amount, but I'm looking to top up here because I bought it around 15, I think. But I wouldn't mind topping up on this because I think the company with potential as VRS, Vasarian, just for information, people, this is not investment advice. I can't point this out enough.
Absolutely. No, it really isn't. That's another company where the chief exec's got a large stake and has put his money where his mouth is as well.
Neil's a lovely guy and he's got about, I think it's about 7-8% of the company. Or, no, hang on, there's more than that. Let me just check. I think a big chunk of it. Shareholder information. Neil has 11.71%. That's 15,375,000 shares.
Justin has 12%.
Well, did you know what? Look at the major shareholders, though. Fair play. And also, good register here. You've got Lombard. Asset manager 20%. Mighton asset management, it was a small cap asset manager, of course, 10.6%. You got Hargreaves Lansdown 7.1%. William Batrick, Herald Investment 5.3%. Barclays stock, well, I don't know, that's not many accounts, but so that's a cracking share register. How much is not in public hands? As far as the group is aware. 44.57% of the group's aims are not in public hands. So 50-odd%. Not a huge free float there. So you can see a lot of buy-in there. You know, a good push, good bit of news there. We'll push that share price. We'll move that share price a lot because there's not a lot of sag in the shareholder register. It's not a saggy register. You know, you don't want a saggy register. That's the last thing you want.
That's the last thing you want. Yeah. Right. Yes. Good. No, interesting. Keep an eye on that one.
Anything else worth chatting about?
Nothing that's really been... No, nothing else.
BT's not really... I've noticed he's not here, to be honest.
BT's not there.
It's not
great, is it? No.
It'd be all right.
We're buying Next the other week inadvertently because I'd left an order on there. That hasn't really worked out either because that's below where I bought it now. So.
Has it?
Yeah, they're about down to about 37.70, I think.
Really? Let's all look. Next. So,
yeah, that's... Well, it's time to buy everybody. No.
But do you know what? That is now in the... If you look in the RSI, it's touching oversold. And last time we did that was like... what was that? The first... When they had an awful profits warning in January. So when it gets to that level, right, it'll hover for a while, but January they will bounce back a bit. So you'll see a relief rally.
Think the bikinis. Think of the bikinis and the summer, all the summer clothing they'll be selling at the moment. They'll be having amazing summer shops.
Yeah, but do you know what I was going to say? Think dividend, but now I'd prefer to think bikini. It depends who's on. If it's not on you, I wouldn't want to think bikini. Saying that, Steve, where he's in a bikini. Okay. Who knows what he's going up to in that crazy old age pensioner's sexy holiday.
Yeah.
He's probably wearing he probably ends up in the morning wearing some old lady's bikini. And she's got his
the walk of shame to breakfast.
Yeah, the walk of shame through the breakfast hall in an old lady's bikini, and she's walking back in his Bermuda shorts. That would be an awful sight to see. And all the people saying, "That's Steve." All the old people said, "That's Steve there. He's amazing. There he look, he's good. He's done another one last night. Look, he's amazing." All right, anyway, that's it for the podcast there. Have a nice weekend, and come on the Lions! You don't sound very patriotic, yes. Peter. Do you?
I don't. I know I want them to win. I suppose I'm a bit I'm a bit pessimistic. But no, let's hope they do it.
Why? Well, you wouldn't have thought they'd have beat them last time. They did, didn't they?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, there we are. Let's have that positive attitude on your head, because I didn't, you know, I thought it was a write-off. Let's be honest. After all the regional games they've done, and then that first test, this is a whitewash. This is dreadful, absolutely awful. It really is. And then they pull that off. So they are capable. They've got it there somewhere. And now, you know, as you know, in sport, you know, a lot of it, you know, I'd say at that level, you know, what 70-80% of it is mental, isn't it? When you can believe you can do it, you can do it. You know.
Yes. Come on, Lions. Yeah.
Again. Right. Have a nice weekend, Peter. Let's hope we're not next time we speak. We'll be saying, see, I'll be saying, see, I told you so, Peter.
Yes. Well, make sure you put some money on the All Blacks then, because they're the underdogs in your head.
Yeah, but they're not. They're still favourites, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
All right, then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.